You are listening to the Wildcat 91.9, and we would like to welcome you to the Nonviolence Half Hour. This is the approximately roughly half hour show dedicated to talking about societal issues, pop culture, and how we can make our community safer, all the while sharing some pretty swell music. So we are Jenna and Jessica. We are two anti-violence advocates from the CARE office on campus. That's the Center for Advocacy, Response, and Education.
So those of you who've listened to us before know that for every Nonviolence Half Hour show, we choose a topic and tackle it in our 30 minutes. So for this show, we've chosen to talk about consent, what it is, why it's important, and when to have conversations about it. But we're going to start you out with some music. So we're going to listen to Heartbeats by Jose Gonzalez, and you are listening to KSDB 91.9, the Nonviolence Half Hour.
One night to be confused, one night to speed up truth. We had a promise made, four hands and then away. Both under influence, we had divine sense to know what to say. Mind is a bridge of faith, to call for hands of above. Start a simple touch, one night to push a screen, and then relief. 10 days of perfect tunes, the colors red and blue. We had a promise made, we were in love. To call for hands of
Heartbeats by Jose Gonzalez on the Wildcat 91.9. You are listening to the Nonviolence Half Hour show, and we are talking about consent today. So Jenna and I, in educating on campus and in the community, we have a lot of conversations about consent with students and faculty and staff, and some of these conversations are really great. And in our research around consent, we found this, what we think is a pretty decent analogy of consent, and it parallels it to making someone a cup of tea. It was written by Emmeline May on her original blog, and then it was reprinted with her permission on BuzzFeed. So if you Google search why sexual consent is just like offering someone a cup of tea, then you will find it. But if you don't want to Google search it, we're going to read it to you right now.
And as we read it, remember, this is going to parallel consent and sexual decision making to making someone a cup of tea. So you say, hey, would you like a cup of tea? And they go, oh my goodness, yes, I would love a cup of tea. Thank you. Then you know they want a cup of tea. If you say, hey, would you like a cup of tea? And they and say, I'm not really sure. Then you can make them a cup of tea or not, but be aware that they might not drink it. And if they don't drink it, and this is important, don't make them drink it. You can't blame them for you going through the effort of making the tea on the off chance that they wanted it. If you just have to deal with them not drinking it. Just because you made it doesn't mean you're entitled to watch them drink it.
if they say no thank you, then don't make them tea. At all. Don't make them tea. Don't make them drink the tea. Don't get annoyed at them for not wanting the tea. Because some people just don't want tea. All right? So they may say, yes, please, that's kind of you. I'd love some tea. And then when the tea arrives, they actually don't want it at all. So sure, that's kind of annoying because you've gone through the effort of making the tea, but they remain under no obligation to drink it. So they did want tea, now they don't. Sometimes people change their mind in the time it takes to boil the kettle, brew the tea, add the milk, and it's okay for people to change their mind, and you're still not entitled to watch them drink it even though you went through the trouble of making it.
If they are unconscious, don't make them tea. Unconscious people don't want tea and can't answer the question, do you want tea? Because they are unconscious. Okay, maybe they were conscious when you asked them if they wanted tea. And they said yes, but in the time it took you to boil that kettle, brew the tea, and add the milk, they are now unconscious. You should just put the tea down, make sure the unconscious person is safe, and, this is also important, don't make them drink the tea. They said yes, then, sure, but unconscious people don't want tea.
If someone said yes to tea, started drinking it, and then passed out before they finished it, don't keep pouring it down their throat. Take the tea away, make sure they're safe, because unconscious people don't want tea, trust me. And if someone said yes to tea around your house last Saturday, that doesn't mean they want tea all the time. They don't really want you to show up unexpectedly at their place and make them tea and then force them to drink it and say, but you wanted it last week. Or to wake up and find you pouring tea down their throat going, but you wanted tea last week. It just doesn't work like that.
So see what we did there? We talked about sexual consent like it was tea.
So we are going to leave you with that for this song. We will be back right after that to unpack that a little bit.
So you're listening to KSDB 91.9, and this is Skinny Love by Bon Iver.
Breaking out.
This is KSDB 91.9, the Nonviolence Half Hour, and that was Skinny Love by Bon Iver. Before we played you that awesome song, we read Why Sexual Consent is Just Like Offering Someone a Cup of Tea, which was recently featured in a BuzzFeed article. And we promised to decompress this a little bit, so we're gonna make good on that promise. And what I was thinking about is this piece does a really great basic introduction of the topic of consent. Jessica here, when we do educational presentations, she's really great about talking about, so rarely do individuals get sat down and have a really in-depth conversation about what the birds and the bees are. And even if that was done, very rarely is the conversation taken further to how we negotiate sex and consent.
Mm-hmm. So when I was reading this, I really liked that it hit on many questions that we get asked when we're having conversations with students about consent. And one of the questions we always get asked is, or that usually comes up, is that, well, you know, if they're in a long-term relationship, or if they had sex before, or let's just say if they'd had tea before, consent sometimes becomes assumed instead. And so I liked that the blog post by Emmeline May hit on that. Just because someone says they want tea one Saturday doesn't mean that they want tea every Saturday here on out, doesn't mean that they want tea every day, that sort of thing.
I think it did a great job of highlighting, just like you said, Jessica, that this is an ongoing dialogue between partners. Mm-hmm. So just because maybe a partner wanted some chai tea one weekend, we can't just assume that's what they always want. So it's important to have a conversation, to keep talking about these things mm-hmm. as you navigate consent.
There you go. So yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's intimidating to think about having conversations about sex, especially if you're thinking about having conversations in a sort of a, I'm going to say, one night stand scenario or a one time sexual encounter. Because a lot of people say that talking about it sort of kills the mood. And I hear that. I really do. But I think there are ways that you can talk about it that don't kill the mood. And I think that not all negotiations of consent have to be verbal either. I think the best ones are, but they don't always have to be.
And I think it's important to point out, because we keep using the term discussion, dialogue, negotiation, but I want to be clear that where Jessica and I stand from, if someone verbally says no or indicates clearly with body language, whatever it might be, that they're not interested, that their answer is no, that's not a point to start a negotiation. Mm-hmm. When we use the term negotiation, we talk about making sure that both partners feel comfortable in whatever they're engaging in, not when you get a no, no, I don't want a cup of tea, that you then try to convince someone to have tea.
Yeah, absolutely. Because so often it's women who are sort of named as never wanting to have sex, which I think is problematic in a lot of ways. And it's a lot of misinformation about, oh, how sexual women are versus how sexual men are. And that's maybe a whole nother radio show. But yeah, so just as Jenna said, when anyone says no, whether it's male, female, whether you're in a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender relationship, whether it's a relationship with multiple partners, when someone says no, that doesn't mean, I can convince them. All I need to do is give them a little bit more time, wear them down a little bit, get them a few more drinks. So yeah, I like that you mentioned that.
And I like that you hit on drinks, because this article did a great job of talking about who has the capacity to consent. Mm-hmm. So if someone is unconscious, if they're incapacitated because of drugs or alcohol, mm-hmm. they cannot consent to tea, to continue the metaphor here.
Right. And the blog post even touched on when someone consents earlier in the night, but then they become unconscious later in the night, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that they are still able to consent. So consent, it doesn't only depend on your capacity to give it, but it's definitely a factor.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Well, I think we're going to throw to some music.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and maybe talk about some things that we found a little bit problematic about the blog post.
Yeah. So this is Animal Tracks by Mountain Man, and you are listening to the Nonviolence Half Hour on Wildcat 91.9.
We'll drink horse by the bay and sit on your backstage.
Was Animal Tracks by Mountain Man. You're listening to the Wildcat 91.9 Nonviolence Half Hour. So Mountain Man is actually one of the lead singers in Mountain Man is now part of Sylvan Esso. So great song, both great bands. You should check them out unless you already have. So we were talking about consent, and we read you all a blog post that was written by Emmeline May, and it's called Why Sexual Consent is Just Like Offering Someone a Cup of Tea. So we talked a little bit about what we really like about the blog post, the great points we think it hits, and now we'd like to talk a little bit about maybe what's missing from it.
And I think any really basic example of consent is always going to probably not capture this, but we want to make sure we touch on it because it's a question we get asked most often when we're doing trainings. Mm-hmm. And that is essentially, what if both individuals are incapacitated and then want to make tea? Mm-hmm. Who's at fault? Is that considered wrong? What are we supposed to think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try to give the example of, you know, in our society, we have had a lot of really great educational campaigns that have come out against drunk driving and things like that. And I would like to compare the situation almost to drunk driving. So if I am intoxicated and I get in my vehicle and I hit someone with my car, not only is that a crime, but it's actually a worse crime because I was intoxicated. So my level of intoxication does not absolve me of my responsibility. It actually makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. And that's oftentimes what we hear in that question, what if we're both drunk? Well, I mean, so first my consideration in that is that there's a difference between being drunk and incapacitated. Mm-hmm. Because Jenna and I are also realists, mm-hmm. and we understand that college kids, adults, and consenting individuals, if you're of the age of consent, so that depends on which, you know, state you're living in. In Kansas, it's 16. But it's not realistic to educate on this notion that there aren't individuals having sex or consenting to sex while having alcohol in their system. But there's a difference between being drunk and incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first distinction to make. And then, you know, just as Jenna said, that being drunk when you initiate any crime never absolves you of that. So yeah, keeping that in mind, I guess.
So I think that almost gets us to the end of our half hour here today.
Yeah.
So if you would like to suggest a topic for any of our upcoming shows, just give us a call. We are 532-6444. We want to hear from you. And if you'd like to ever get involved in any of our campus prevention efforts, you can feel free to stop by our office in 206 Holton Hall.
Or give us a call there, too.
Yeah.
And if you have any additions you want to make to this conversation of consent, we would be happy to do that.
We thank you for listening today to the Nonviolence Half Hour brought to you by Jenna and Jessica from the K-State Care Office. And we are going to leave you with Such Great Heights by the Postal Service. And you are listening to KSDB 91.9.